God, we recognize your presence in this space and in our lives. And we just ask that as we read this book, that you will give us understanding, that you'll give us insight, and that your spirit will speak, that your word and your word only will go forth. If there's anything that is not of you, that it will fall upon deaf ears. But awaken our ears, open our eyes, that we might see and hear and receive your message. In Christ's name, amen. So you can follow along in your bulletin, your Bible, or on the screen. We're looking at a section of Revelation 21 and 22. Starting with verse 1, 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He was seated on the throne and said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Skipping ahead to chapter 22, the first few verses. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. The Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And my response to this is praise the Lord. This past week is a really good friend of mine and my 30th friend anniversary. We met in kindergarten. She remembers it better than I do. She said that we were wandering trying to find the school bus, and I grabbed her hand and said, "I know where it is. Follow me." You're not surprised by that, are you? So over the years, we've had many celebrations and many things we've done together. And when she was about 10 years old, 12 years old, I think like 10, she had this birthday party. And the majority of the people she invited were from her church. And I didn't know them. I was her friend from school. And so we're at this birthday party, and we decided to play hide and seek. And I was familiar enough with her house that I had an idea of where I was going to hide. And there was this closet in a room that people didn't go in. And I knew her mom had that closet stuffed with a bunch of stuff. And I knew I could crawl in there and get high and people wouldn't be able to find me, so I went and I hid there. Well, she had this other friend who also had been at her house, who also knew about this closet. And her friend went into the same closet, and we hid on opposite sides. We wait, silent, and wait, and wait, and wait, and then we start talking to each other. Well, eventually we became friends. We met in a closet. And this other friend and I ended up being the bridesmaids for my longtime friend's wedding. But anyways, they got tired of looking for us. So they went in the other room and they started watching an old movie. And we sat there and we talked and we talked and we talked. They totally gave up on us. The reason I'm sharing this story is in the Bible there's a story of people hiding. In the book of Genesis, which is the first creation story, we hear about God creating the world. And he makes this beautiful place, the Garden of Eden, and there's a river that flows through it, and there's a tree of life, and there's this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says, "You can eat anything here, except you can't eat from the tree of good and evil. Only one rule, right? But what do we humans do? You tell us no, and what happens? We go and try to break the one rule, right? So they went and they ate from this tree of knowledge of good and evil, and all of a sudden they became aware that they were naked. Up to this point, they were wandering around the garden, carefree, naked, didn't think anything of it, interacting with God. And all of a sudden, they can see differently. And so they hide from God. See, this story shows what so much of us do in our lives. We hide from God. Don't we? We'll let God be involved in this part of our lives, but this period, we hide from God. Or maybe we're angry at God, so we're not talking about it, so we hide from God. Or maybe we're sad about something, and we hide from God. But this is the thing. This book is about God's game of hide and seek, where he is constantly seeking us. No matter where we hide, no matter how we hide, God keeps seeking us and searching for us and trying to find a way to reconcile, to bring us back into relationship with him. It's also a book about the story of God's presence. God is constantly seeking to have presence amongst us. In the Garden of Eden, God's walking. I mean, it's a figurative language, but still, there's an idea that God is present in the Garden of Eden. Moses encounters God in the burning bush. We have the temple and the tabernacle, and we have the Holy of Holies, God's presence among Israel. And then we come to the story that we Christians cling to, which is the story of God's Son, God among us in Jesus Christ. And that's a really powerful story of God pursuing us and seeking us out and wanting to recreate us. So we've been looking at this book of Revelation, we've been talking about the different ways that people hear what it says. And when we talk about new creation, we're talking about what God's doing, first off, in you and me and the church. I'm going to share this from 2 Corinthians. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." See, we are in many ways that new earth and that new heaven. We have the river of life flowing through us when we receive God's Spirit. We drink from that river and receive in Christ. When we are made in Christ, the old is old. It's gone. It's thrown away. It doesn't exist anymore. God is creating new within us. But then you can read this passage and talk about a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth, and it points us to heaven, and it points us to the new creation that God makes in us when we die, when we leave our body and our soul goes to eternity with Christ, that we're a new creation. Our soul is refined and it's transformed and it's changed in that moment, and we can experience God's presence in such a closeness. I think I've shared this before, but when I was doing my chaplaincy training and learning, like, how do you be with someone when they're dying? How do you be with someone when they're sick? This mentor said to me, when you're with somebody when they're dying, remember that you are probably the closest you'll be to God on this earth, because that person's a breath away from encountering God, like, face to face. And so by being with them in that moment, you are almost a breath away from heaven. And that was a really helpful thing, and something that I remembered when I'm with somebody, is that they're a breath away from experiencing the full presence of God. What a beautiful thing that is. So the new creation, the new heaven, the new earth, is also a heaven aspect. But then we get to the story of the new creation, the new earth in Revelation, and it's talking about completely new earth and a new heaven. It talks about in the presence of Christ, heaven and earth just... they're gone. They flee from Christ's presence. And it talks about a marriage that will take place between the church and Jesus. That a uniting will happen, a new presence of God, a new community, a new intimacy will take place. This new earth and this new heaven will come, and it will be completely different. But the description is similar to the story of creation. In Eden, there was a river. In this new earth, in this new temple, in this new Jerusalem, there will be a river. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of life. in this new heaven, there will be 12 trees, and each month they will bear different fruit, and we can eat of this tree of life, and it will never be forbidden from us. But the most important thing in this new creation is this verse. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. See, that's the most important thing we can take from this, that God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants us to abide with him and him with us. That abiding presence is life-changing. So, I think it was like 6 to 8 weeks ago, I shared with you that I had read about a man who had drawn a circle around himself on the ground and stood in it. And he said, there's two stories. One, he said, I'm going to stay in this until you send rain, God. And he sat in the circle until God sent rain. But there's another story similar to that where a person did something alike and said, God, you start revival within me. And he prayed that every day. And God did amazing things to this man that is a normal, average guy. So I've been praying for the last 6 to 8 weeks, God, start revival within me. And it's been pretty cool. I feel like every single day there's been these divine appointments and conversations, and it's just been really amazing to every morning say, God, start revival within me today. I want that for you all. I want you all to experience God every single day of your life in the profound, incredible way that we can experience him. And going through this book of Revelation, which is such a popular culture thing to read, God wants that for us too. That's the great hide and seek pursuit. God is pursuing us because he wants that. He wants to completely transform us and make us new creations. He wants us to be part of that future earth and future heaven and that amazing place. And all we have to do is stop playing hide and seek with him. Or come out of that closet and say, hey, sorry I was hiding so long. Did you forget us? God wants us to come out of that space and be open and vulnerable with him. When they were in the garden, the reason they hid from God is because they realized how vulnerable they were before God. They realized they had messed up. And they realized that God saw everything. So it's intimidating to come to God's presence because God knows everything. But guess what? Even when you're not in God's presence, God knows everything. Okay, so whether you're there or not, God knows it. So why not just embrace it? Why not just step into it and say, God, you're it. You're everything. And if we don't just want this for us, we should want it for everyone we love. Our friends, our family. We should want it for our coworkers. Even that person who really annoys us and irritates us and complains to everybody about all the time, they need it too. And so we need to be praying for them. We need to be asking God, let them experience you. Help them to come out of hiding. Help them to experience your presence. Now, experiencing God's presence can be scary because God is holy and God is perfect. And when we're standing next to a holy and perfect God, it makes us realize our imperfections. It makes us realize, like, ooh, I'm a lot more hypocritical than I want to admit. But it's okay because God already knows that. And he's inviting us into his presence so he can start refining us and changing us and cleansing us and making us new. And this is the really cool thing. God does the work. All we have to say is yes. He's the one that's doing it in us. So, my friend and I, for our 30th friend anniversary, we have two parts to it. So we're going to be doing a road trip. We're going to flip a coin, and if it's heads, we're going to go right, tails left, and we're going to drive for so many hours and see where we end up. So that's part two. We're having trouble coordinating that part. Part one, though, we went to this movie called All Saints. It's in theaters right now. It's at, I think it's the Warrenburg Theater. And she wanted me to see it because when she saw it, she said, that's your church. So I go to this movie, and it's about this congregation that was dying. They had 12 members of their church. And the bishop, it's Episcopal Church, the bishop sends in this new pastor, first congregation, sounds similar, you're my first congregation. But the reason they chose this young pastor is he wasn't this was a second career for him. His first career was a sales job. He sold things. And so they thought, you're the person to come in and convince this congregation it's okay for them to close their doors, and you can sell the church and make good money for us. Okay? So that's why he was chosen, for his previous career. So he comes to this church, and he says, well, I have to at least show some effort to try to help the church. So he makes these posters. They're not that great. They just say something new is happening, and they hang them up around town. What just happens that this family has just come as refugees from Burma. I can't pronounce it right, but their nationality is Korean. It's not Korean. It sounds like Korean. Anyways, this man sees the sign, and he talks to some other men. He's kind of a leader in this immigrant community. And he says, let's go to this church. So these three men show up at this church to check it out for their families. And they come, and everyone's like, we have new people in the pews? Who are these people? And where are they from? I don't recognize them. They're not a local. And they come to church, and they worship. And then they show up at the pastor's house later, and they say, we need help. We can't feed our families. We can't find work. We don't know the language well enough. So the pastor talks to different people, and he finds out about a store that cuts up chicken. And so they get a job at the store cutting up chicken. Does that sound like Tyson's and how a lot of our immigrants are going to Tyson's? Okay, so this happens. Well, and then there's a member of his church who keeps going out to their land and touching the soil, and he used to be a farmer. This sounds familiar too. I think several of you guys did that when we got that land. It's like, oh, this is farm soil. Well, eventually God brings these all together, and they decide they're going to farm, even though the church is going to be sold any day, and so they're not going to be able to harvest the crop. Anyways, the story continues, and it's fascinating because I'm sitting there, and I'm like, we went through that struggle. We went through that pain. We went through that hardship. So many of the struggles that we've had, this same congregation experience, and it's a real congregation, it actually exists. And I'm going, huh, we had the well problem. Oh, we had trouble getting a tractor to till the ground. Oh, yeah, we had that racial ethnic tension going on. Yeah, we did that whole two service thing and people got upset about it. It was our church story. I feel like somebody spied on us. Anyways, I want you guys to go and see this. I don't want to tell you how it ends. But I want you to know that the ending of the story, I feel like, is what God's doing in us. And I think that God is doing something incredible in this church. That God is creating something new. Because that's what God does. You get that? God creates something new. And he's doing that here in us, with the land, and with the immigrants who are coming and being part of our congregation. And some young adults who are coming in, and like Mark, you said I can use you as an example anytime, so I'm going to go. Okay. Mark has felt very apart from church in the way that he's lived life and his friendships and everything, but he's now here. He knows Jesus. He went to the Christian Conference Center this weekend, and he went there before we all got there because he was going to push himself and meet new Christians, and he was willing to step outside of his comfort zone and let God do that. And coming to church has been outside of his comfort zone. Guess what? He's got a bunch of friends he wants to bring here. Isn't that awesome? But God's doing something new. And when God's doing something new, you feel God's presence. When God's doing something new, you're drawn more into God's presence and awareness of God. As a church family, that's what I hope for us, that every single one of us will experience God's presence in a new way, and that God will make a new creation in us, and that God will continue to use us to establish his kingdom here on earth. Let us pray. Jesus, we're humans. You're God's son. We're navigating this road of life, and we're trying our best, and at times we fail. You know the problems we encounter every day. You know the health struggles we have. You know the relationship struggles we have, and yet we need you. We need you, God. Help us to know how to come out of hiding. Help us to know how to seek you. Help us to know how to let go and allow you to make us a new creation. God, we look forward to your future return, Jesus. We look forward to the day you establish your kingdom on earth 100%. But in the meantime, help us to be part of that establishing of your kingdom. Help us to be your hands and your feet. Start revival within us. In Christ's name.